morning. And Mike, if you want to put it up on the overheads, Matthew 21:22, I don't know how long it take you to find it. New King James is fine. Matthew 21:22. Did you find it? I like putting pressure on him. He does good under pressure. All right. It says, and whatever you ask for in prayer, having faith and really believing, you will receive. Let's read that together. And whatever you ask for in prayer, having faith and really believing, you will receive. Did you know that's the reason that so many of you have so many unanswered prayers? Because you're hoping that God will hear you. You're hoping that God will do what you ask. But that's not what that verse says. It says when you pray believing. And when you pray believing, then it's God's responsibility to meet you at the point of your need. Does that make sense? I mean, that just kind of went off in me like a bomb this morning. Because we've got so many things in this world today where people say that they're praying, but we're not seeing the answers that they need. So this coming week, why don't you just kind of put that to practice in your prayer life? And if you're going to approach God about something, well, just get your heart prepared in faith, and when you walk in there, we'll tell him, Lord, I'm believing that you're going to be able to do this because I'm asking it. Amen? And then see what God will do. Hallelujah. All right. Well, this morning I want to spend some time talking about our position before God when we as Christians find ourselves rebelling against God's word and against God's authority. Now, if there's anybody in this room that has never rebelled against God's word and you've never rebelled against God's authority, I want you to lift your hand. Yeah, you see, we all have, and we know we have. And the sad thing is that when we know that we've done it, but we don't want to change a lot of times. We don't want to do what the word says, repent. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. Now, I don't want to sound negative in all this, but we truly have a responsibility to God because of what Christ did for us on that cross. And I know sometimes, you know, we get so caught up in life, in the daily struggles and all this stuff, we don't even think about what Jesus did on the cross. Okay, the kid, little ones? Yeah, okay. If you're elementary school, you got a class. All right, go for it. Amen. They must have got one for youth, too, because either that or all youth are back there eating donuts, one or the other. All right. But anyway, let's begin with what's, you know, happening right now in so we can kind of build a foundation. Scripture talks about a judgment coming, and it doesn't say necessarily when it's going to be. So let's look at this in 1 Peter chapter 4. You got a lot of scripture this morning, and I hope you take this scripture with you and kind of review it this week and see what else God has to speak to you about. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins with us, who is us? Usans. Weans. All right. And if it first begins with us, what shall the end be of them that don't obey the gospel of God? Or in other words, don't obey the word of God. What's going to happen to them? That's an interesting question, isn't it? again, this is one of them verses that we kind of like to just skip over real quick and move on, because we don't want to sit and ponder anything about judgment. Now, this letter was written over 2,000 years ago. It was written by Peter. And the question is, has this judgment already occurred, or is it still coming, or is it here right now? It's a good question. Good time to think about it. So I think what we're going to cover this morning, I think we can come up with some reasonable answer to these, through this question, by just doing an inventory of our own heart this morning. You see, when you do an inventory of your heart, the Spirit of God shows you things. And lots of times He shows you lots of things that's been going on in there that you haven't stopped or you haven't repented of or whatever. So we're going to begin by looking in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And let's start in verse 13. Unless I say so, all of these are in the New King James Version. Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified His servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in His presence of Pilate when He was determined to let Him go. And let me stop here a minute. You know, we need to see who's speaking here. Well, this is Peter on the day of Pentecost. This is the first sermon that he's ever preached to the masses like this. And so he's speaking the truth of God to them. In verse 14, he says, "But you denied the Holy One." Now, he's talking to the Jewish people mainly. But out here, if you'll remember, on the day of Pentecost, it said there were people out there from everywhere, okay? So he's talking to a lot of diverse groups of people. "But you denied the Holy One and the Just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And His name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through Him has given Him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of His prophets, that the Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled." And again, you know, all of this was prophetically spoken when Jesus walked this earth. Everything that the prophets talked about Him was fulfilled, even to the day that He was hung on a cross and 3 days later arose from the dead. Okay? Verse 19. "So repent." Now, he's telling a people here who should have been sensitive to the Messiah's coming, because that's all they've heard for their whole life, is that the Messiah is coming. Christ is coming. The Anointed One is coming. "So repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before." And Jesus has already risen back into heaven. And verse 21 says, "whom this heaven must receive until the time of the restoration of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all of His holy prophets since the world began." Now, this term that Peter used in that sermon, he says that you denied the Holy One. You denied the Holy One. Who's the Holy One that he's talking about? Jesus, okay? So this Jesus, this Holy One, this statement about Him is an important statement. And it's God's desire that we learn how we, at times, deny the Holy One in each one of our lives. And I know what you're thinking. You see, you know, I don't know that I ever have. Well, I hope that you haven't. But I'm going to give you some insight in some areas that you may have, okay? And if you find one, then there's a work that needs to be done this morning. It's called repentance. Same word that Peter gave to these Jewish people and all these people from foreign nations, the same word is for us today. Repent, so that your sins may be forgiven. Now, we are living in a time of a prophetic word that was in Peter's message. And it's called the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. In fact, every time we get into worship here, I don't know whether you really have picked up on it, but that's a time of refreshing. I mean, that's a time when you just feel it on the inside of you that, man, things are just good, you know. And I don't know about you, but a lot of times we get into such a place in God's presence, I would just soon stay there the rest of my life. If it were possible, I'd just like stay right there and just till my microphone goes out. No. So let's look at this then, beginning in Matthew chapter 10, talking about denial. Matthew chapter 10, verse 33, "But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, through the years, whenever I'd read that verse, I'd think, well, you know, Lord, I haven't denied you. You know, I don't want to deny you. But yet, these are hard words to hear. You know, I don't want to ever think that Jesus might one day deny me before the Father. And these are the kind of things that we need to think about. You know, we don't want to just, you know, go screaming in the pearly gates, you know, when we pass away or Jesus comes to get us and find out, well, Jesus is standing there denying me before the Father. I don't want to see that. So they're hard words, but these words are important words, and they were so important that the Spirit of God even inspired Paul when he wrote this letter to Timothy. And he basically says the same thing. So let's look at it in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And beginning in verse 11. "This is a faithful saying. For if we died in him..." Now, who's he talking about here when he uses him? If we died in who? Y'all like a bunch of high schoolers. Is he talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Who is him? It's Jesus. Amen. We die in him when we receive him into our heart as our Savior. Die to him and we die to our sins. Or die in him and we die to our sins. So this is a faithful saying. "For if we died with him, we shall also live with him." Now, I like that. That's the good part. "And if we endure, we shall reign with him." I like that one too. "But if we deny him, he also will deny us." There's that phrase again that Jesus used. Verse 13, "If we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Okay? So denial is a major error as far as God is concerned and as far as Jesus is concerned. So how would we ever be involved in denying the Lord? Well, as I was looking through the scripture, I found out a whole lot more than I was really comfortable with, because there's a lot in there that's spoken about this. So let's look at this. I don't think any of us denied the Lord like Peter did that night before Jesus died. I mean, where he stood up before those people and literally basically said, "I don't know you. I don't know him," okay? And I don't think we've ever denied or at least I hope not, that we've ever denied the Messiah like the Jewish people did. I mean, they denied him to the degree that they hung him on a cross. So I don't think we're guilty there. But many of us is, and Christians all over the world today deny Jesus on a regular basis. And the truth is, I don't think we really realize how many times that we can deny him. And I'm going to say through our ignorance. And it's through our ignorance that we these things happen, because we don't do what Jesus says. So that's also disobedience. You see, he's told us that the Word of God is our life. It's our food. And if we don't read the Word of God every day, how are we going to know when we deny him? Or how are we ever going to know what might happen or what we could do to deny him? So it's important that we get into the Word of God to understand these things. Now, let's look at some of these areas. The first major heading that I want to look at is lack of service. Lack of service. You ever heard this, I call it the I can't do syndrome. The I can't do syndrome. Let's look at Matthew 28:18. I want you to go out and minister this week to people. Well, Pastor, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. That's the I can't do syndrome. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and he said unto his disciples, do we have any disciples in here? All of you are disciples, whether you admit it or not. Okay. You know what the term disciple means? It means a follower of Jesus. So if you're saved, you're a follower of Jesus. Jesus came and said unto his disciples, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Praise God. Jesus demonstrated that power everywhere he went. And he also demonstrated it to teach his disciples what that power can do. Now, what did Jesus do with that power when he left this place? Well, Scripture says he gave it to us. He gave it to everyone that had followed him. And what happens is when we say that I can't do this or I can't do that, is that we are denying the power of God. You see, we deny our empowered ability that Jesus gave us. And so how does God look at this when we deny the power that he gave us? Well, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, Paul is writing about a people here who are not necessarily followers of Jesus, but what he's talking about is a denial in the midst of all of this. He says, having a form of godliness in verse 5, but denying the power thereof, and from such turn away. Now, when we deny the power that God has given us, it's wrong. And when we deny it through our actions, then it's wrong. And the sad thing about it is that Paul is telling Timothy, stay away from these people. So how are you going to stay away from yourself? Kind of hard to do, isn't it? God doesn't expect you to stay away from yourself as a Christian. He expects you to repent. A Christian should not have a form of godliness. You either know God and act like you know God, walk like you know God, speak like you know God, or don't. There's no middle ground in the life of a Christian. God tells us to stay away from them, people who have a form of godliness. The second area is what I call the I can't share syndrome. I can't share. You know, I don't really know anything to share with anybody about the Lord. Well, let's look at 1 John 2:20. 1 John 2:20. But you, talking to Christians, but you have an unction. What's an unction? That's a big word. You have the anointing. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Why don't we act like it then, that we know all things? That's what John's trying to say here. In other words, you know all things, not so much in your wisdom, but through the wisdom that comes to you through the anointing. And any time you step out into ministry, the anointing is going to come upon you. And so you don't really have to worry about what you're going to say or how you're going to do it, because the Spirit of God is going to be the one working through you. All He needs in those situations is your body. He needs your hand to lay on someone. Amen? He needs your voice to speak into the life of someone. And this is true. I mean, this is you and God working together. That's the way it's supposed to be. And you and I work with God through the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. So God tells us, you can know everything as far as ministering to people through the anointing. And if you know everything through the anointing, then you have enough godly wisdom to share with other people. I do counseling, and I'll tell you what, as far as counseling books go, I would throw them away, because that's not what I use. I use the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And as I'm counseling people, He tells me things that I share with people. And I know some people get nervous. I'm afraid He's going to show you something that I don't want you to see. God is not going to embarrass anybody by revealing something to me about you. But what God will do through counseling is bring you to the place of conviction, where whatever it is that's going on in your life, you don't want to have it around anymore. And that's where the truth comes out, and that's where the healing takes place, especially in married couples. Amen? All right. So I can't do syndrome, and I can't share syndrome. And then finally, this last one, I don't know syndrome. I don't know. Look at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Verse 16. But they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. In other words, they're just basically saying, I'm too ignorant to do anything, is when it comes to the kingdom of God. And that's denying everything that we've been talking about. When you have the anointing on you, there is absolutely nothing impossible for you. And it's not in your power. It's not because of who you are. It's because of who He is. And somehow we need to get over that hump and begin to receive that into our hearts. Like the verse that we talked about at the very beginning about prayer. We have to believe what God says. And we need to quit this lifestyle of walking in doubt and unbelief and calling it faith. Well, how do you do that, Pastor? You do it because you don't even believe the Word of God. So why do you expect anybody else around you to believe it? Now think about this. Your eternal future hinges on your faith. It hinges on your faith. Do you really believe? Because that's the way Jesus comes into your heart. When you believe in your heart that he is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead. And if you've lied to yourself about believing that, then you're going to hell with the rest of them. I don't care how many days, weeks and months and years you spend in church. It all has to do what goes on in here. And God has called for us to walk and live by faith. Amen? All right. So, there's some other areas that we're going to look at, but these three that we've just looked at, there's only one way to lay all of those to rest, and that's just simply repent. Repent. Just admit, okay, I've done that before, or I've said that before, and I've shied away from ministering to other people because I just don't think I have it. Well, repent. And believe by faith that God is there with you, and God's going to take you through whatever the issue might be. And you are going to see the victory and also bring the other person into victory as well. That's the way God works. Now, some other areas, one of them we're going to look at is total abandonment. Total abandonment. Years ago, I read a book, Total Abandonment to the Word of God. I'll tell you what, that was an awesome book. And it ought to be, besides the Bible, it ought to be a book that every Christian be required to read. It was written by a evangelist and missionary out of China back in the, I think it was the late 30s, in the what they call the Shantung Revival. But man, I'm telling you what, this guy had an explosion of revelation in his heart. And he learned how to lay himself down. And I had the privilege of meeting him one time. And he was probably about as close as you could ever get on this world right now to someone that acted like Jesus. I mean, he had a heart for God. He had a heart for people. But anyway, that's beside the point. Total abandonment. And most of us are guilty of not giving God our all. In fact, the times that we're living in right now compared to the times I've come out of in the past, there's less and less that we want to give to God. And it's all because of what's going on around us and us thinking that we have to be a part of everything that's going on around us. And I'm telling you, it's hitting our kids real hard. You know, trying to keep up with these busy schedules, you know, that they have in school. I'd have probably quit school when I was in the sixth grade if this would have been the same when I was in school. I mean, they put too much work on kids. They expect too much out of them. There's too many outside events that they want them to get involved in, or the kids want to get involved in. And then the poor parent, if you got two or three, four kids that are all running in four different directions, you don't have time for God. And that ought to be a revelation to you that, hey, stop this merry-go-round and let me off. You know, let me get me and my family back to a place where we put God first. And then we'll see what else that we can accomplish. That is total abandonment. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus has the solution, by the way, right here. Jesus said to all of them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny yourself. That doesn't mean that you completely withdraw from the world, that you quit your job, sell your house and all your property and go live on a mountain somewhere. That's not what Jesus was talking about. But there's a choice that you have to make. And notice he said daily. Every day you have to make this choice. And that choice is, am I going to do my best to follow Jesus today or not? And then do, hopefully, you know, what you've decided, and that's to follow him. And that's what he's talking about when he says, pick up your cross daily and follow me. In other words, it's going to be a time of you abandoning yourself, of you putting yourself to death in the flesh and following after him in the spirit. Can you see that? And we're all in such a place right now that it's going to be a hard thing to do, but it can be done because you have the power of God working in your life. Okay? Total abandonment. So if you don't deny yourself daily, then you need to repent. Next one, refusing his presence. Refusing his presence. Now this is kind of a strange one. I'm going to read this one out of the Message Bible. Mike said he didn't have that in the computer, but listen to what it says. Matthew 28, verse 16. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain that Jesus had set for their reunion. And the moment that they saw him, they worshiped him. Think about that. The last time they saw Jesus was on the cross. Oh, they had found out that he had rose from the dead, but they didn't know where he was. And even before he left this earth, he made an appointment with them at a designated place and time, and he says, I'll be there. And that's what they're doing here. And so they come and they see him and they worship him. I think that's awesome, because that's the first thing that came into their hearts, was to just worship him. And some, though, held back. In other words, they didn't fall on their knees and begin to worship him. They kind of stood there not knowing what to do. The Bible here says not sure about worship and not sure about risking themselves totally. You get the picture here. They're not really willing to fully become engaged with Jesus. They don't want a, you know, total abandonment to him. So they're going to stand off a little ways and see what happens. And this is, you know, this is the opposite of what I encourage people to do in this church, especially in worship, is just to get in there, look forward to worship, and get in there and worship him. I mean, his presence comes, he's here, so take advantage of the opportunity and get in there and worship him with all of your heart. And I'm seeing more and more people that are catching this revelation and that they're doing it. But let me tell you, this is something that's so important to you, or it should be important to you, but it is most important to God. God has called you and I to worship him. He calls it worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And it's our responsibility to do that for him. I mean, my word, he sent his only son. He let him, be tortured and everything, and then hung merciless, with no mercy, on a cross. And how could we be anything less than completely obedient to worship in him? I mean, Jesus paid it all. And some of us, we're not willing to give him the penny out of the dollar for anything. And if we are acting that way, then we need to repent. We need to change our way of thinking and our way of doing. The next one is our disobedience. Our disobedience. 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15, beginning in verse 22. Now, this is out of the Old Testament, but the principle that's being taught here is what's important. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. In other words, does God enjoy the burnt offerings and sacrifices, or does he enjoy more the obeying his word? Our obedience to his word. Then he goes on to say, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Now he's talking to King Saul here. But the principle applies to us today. We are to obey the Lord and his word, not walk around in disobedience to it. And it's not that difficult thing to do. We try to psych ourselves up and say to ourselves, I can't do that. But yes, you can. If you stay in the word of God every day, then it's easy to be able to walk in obedience. Obedience was better than sacrifice in the Old Testament. How much greater is it in the New Covenant? Well, let's look over in the New Testament at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. This will be out of the Amplified Bible. They got so many Bibles out there right now. I don't know how we're supposed to keep up with them. I go out every now and then and check several translations, primarily to make sure that I feel like they're accurate. And I found some of these newer ones, I don't think they're accurate. But you need to be careful what you're reading. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, out of the Amplified, this is what it says. Talking about people who were chosen and foreknown by God the Father, and consecrated, sanctified, made holy by the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ the Messiah, and to be sprinkled with his blood. Now, who are these people who were chosen and foreknown by God the Father? You and I. Remember, I've preached several times about how God knew you even before the foundation of the world. You and I have trouble keeping up with who we're kin to. But God keeps up with everyone, even back to before the foundation of the world. Before the world was even created, God knew you. And I don't know about you, but that blows my mind, because my mind can't wrap around that truth. But I believe it because God's word said that. Okay? So by the Spirit, we are sanctified. In other words, we are made holy for this reason, to be obedient to Jesus Christ. To be obedient. So, have you denied the Lord through your disobedience? If you've ever denied him through disobedience, then you need to repent. Well, Pastor, you're getting too many reasons to repent. Well, they're not my reasons, they're what the Word of God teaches. Okay? Next one is denying his anointing. Did you know you can deny the anointing of Jesus? Look at it in John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? That's pretty profound. Who is a liar? He defines a liar. It's that one that denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son, and whoever denies the Son, he does not have the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So the question is, do you deny the Christ? Well, Pastor, I've never denied Jesus that I recall. Well, do you really know what the Christ means, the term the Christ? be Christ? Well, it means the anointed one and his anointed. The anointed one and his anointing. Have you ever denied the anointed one in your life? Remember what we talked about a while ago. You know, that we can deny the unction or the anointing when we make that statement, I can't do this, or I can't share that, or whatever. This is just another way of looking at it. But the truth is, do you live like Jesus? You see, you have the anointing. You have the anointed one living inside of you if you've received Jesus into your heart. So do you deny that? If you deny it, then you need to repent. Because you see, Jesus lives in you, and he should live and move and have his being in you every day when you allow him to do that. But so many times we deny that, we deny him doing that because we don't really want to follow after him. We don't really want to deny ourselves and walk after him every day. And if we're doing that, then that needs to be repented of. You see, we need to practice our Christianity every day of our lives. That's what God has called us to do. So if you've ever denied the Christ, then you need to repent. Another one is ignoring the unfortunate of this world. Ignoring the unfortunate of this world. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25. We'll get Mike to put it up there. I'm not going to read it, but you kind of glance at it while I'm talking. Jesus reveals a list of people in this passage of Scripture that God is going to hold us responsible for in every generation. So the question is, have you ever ignored the sick or the stranger or the one in prison or the one who is hungry, the one who is naked, or the one who is thirsty? You see, if you've had people like this come into your life or cross your path in life, and you've not taken the opportunity to minister to them, then you need to repent, because you have denied these people. You have denied that which Jesus has told us to minister to. Now, this is one that we really need to think about, because, you know, we as a church can have a lot of opportunities for ministry just in this one passage of Scripture. In the past, this church has ministered food to the hungry. We've ministered water to the thirsty. We've clothed the naked. But there's still some of these that we are, well, let's get the sick in there too, because we lay hands on the sick all the time. You know, every opportunity that we get, we lay hands on them. But there's still some that we don't necessarily have a direct ministry to. And so we need to, as a church, need to be doing this, but you individually need to also be doing this, ministering to these classes of people. Now, we're going to stop here because, you know, this could go on for a good while. But what I wanted you to see is what really happens when we don't follow the Word of God is that we end up denying opportunities that God holds us accountable for. And so let me urge you to think about this, especially this week. You know, just think back in your daily walk every day. You know, are there opportunities that you're missing out and not following what the Lord has called you to do? Now, repentance. How many of you read the little note I sent to you Saturday morning? Okay, well, that pretty much describes what I'm talking about when I say repentance. You see, we need to understand that term and then actively work that term in our lives every day, because there are so many opportunities that come along where we might deny the Lord And if we do, we need to confess it as sin and then repent of it. Don't go back to it. And that's an ongoing process that every one of us has to walk through. Now, it's also a work of the Holy Spirit to bring you to a place of working sorrow in your heart over these times of where you've denied God or whether you've committed other sin or whatever. And it's called godly sorrow. And you see, this is so lacking in the church today, in this realm of repentance. Nobody wants to repent. And nobody even talks about repentance anymore. If you go back and study history of the church from, say, the 50s on back, I mean, repentance was a huge part of the church. You know, coming even down front, you know, and getting right before the Lord. And these are opportunities that we are missing out on in this season, this day and time that we live in. So we want to use the worldly sorrow. And the worldly sorrow is just simply in your heart say, well, I got caught, and I hope I don't get caught the next time. Amen? And that's not the godly way to do it. Paul says that godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation. Repentance produces repentance to salvation. And so that's what we're looking for. That's what I want to see happen in your life, or at least begin to happen if you're not truly walking in godly sorrow, a true godly repentance in your life. Now, we're going to have a time this morning where you're going to have an opportunity, if the Spirit of God has shown you some areas this morning where you know that you've denied the Lord, that you can come down here and get right with the Lord. Getting right with the Lord is just simply you going to God and saying, I'm sorry. And when you say, I'm sorry, He'll forgive you. But God also wants to see that you not only are sorry, but you're not going to do it again. You're not going to allow it to continue to be a habit in your life. And that's where you need the strength. And it's that strength that can come to you when you're at the altar. That's the place of sacrifice. That's the place where the power of God comes in dealing with people and their sin and their sorrow and their unforgiveness and all of these things. And so it's important. Well, Pastor, we don't have an altar here. Well, that's true. Not like the old churches had. But we got a whole front row of seats here where nobody's sitting. And I want to encourage you to come and just kneel at the front. And then just talk to God this morning. If God has shown you areas, well, then repent of them. And then ask Him to forgive you. And then just receive from God that power for you to walk out of here this today and not even have that desire in your heart anymore to do what you've done wrong. Amen? Everybody understand that? Okay. Well, Pastor, I really don't want to come down the front. You want to know why? Because it's your pride. You see, if I come down there, then everybody's going to know that something's wrong with me. Well, let me just bring comfort to you right now. There's something wrong with every person in this room, including me, when it comes to God's perspective. Okay? So you're not the only one on the boat. And so we need to get past that. We need to get past that work of the enemy. Because the enemy doesn't want you repenting. He doesn't want you trying to do something to change your life. He likes you just the way you are because he can manipulate you. But we need a time of just total humility before the Lord where we can respond to our God. And you see, Jesus did a time on the cross for us. And if you'll notice, he didn't go to somebody's house and go inside to be hung on a cross. No, they said that he was even hung on a hill where everybody could see it. And that, it, to me, that is true humility, willing to be made a spectacle of in order to fulfill God's calling and his desires upon your life. And that's what we're talking about. That's what this is all about. You know, our repentance shouldn't be any less public than anything that Jesus did. We just need to do, you know, 2 Chronicles says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves. You see, that's the first step in producing godly sorrow. If you will humble yourself and then pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, and then he says, I'll hear from heaven, and then I'll come and I'll heal your land. We all have land right now. This is God's land right here. This is your land. And God wants to come and heal this. And it can be done through you simply confessing that you've denied him in several ways or just one way or whatever. But the thing is that you have a choice. Notice that 2 Chronicles verse I just read, that it starts with if. If my people. So that tells me I have a choice. I can either do it God's way or I can do it my way, which is going to fail anyway. But if my people will humble themselves. So that's what we need to do. Amen. So I'm going to ask Jonathan to come and just minister on the piano this morning. And I'm just going to encourage you to just come.